Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This show is usually all about music. Tonight we're going to have music, fear not, but we're going to talk about a very serious subject that affects so many lives, not only in Northwest Indiana, but worldwide. We're going to talk about self-injury. We've got some special guests with us from the Self-Injury Support Groups of Northwest Indiana. We're going to talk about a very cool free movie that's going to be happening at the Hobart Art Theater on Tuesday, March 27th in downtown Hobart. And it's going to be a free movie. We're going to talk about different situations that you may find yourself in, people you know. Joining me will be Ruth Halstead, Emily Kay, and Eric Dean Spruth, all connected to the Self-Injury Support Groups of Northwest Indiana. Stay with us. It's all starting after this.
Consideration for programming is provided by State Farm agent John Yelkich, serving insurance needs for Hobart and the surrounding areas. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. More information is available at john4insurance.com.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
I hurt myself today just to see if I could feel. Raise your hand if you are one of those people that have done that. That's what we're going to address tonight. We're going to talk about self-injury and a place you can get help. Self-Injury Support Groups of Northwest Indiana are hosting a free movie night at Hobart Art Theater at 230 Main Street in Hobart, and that's happening Tuesday, March 27th at 6 p.m. There will be some special guests. This is a really good film. You know, sometimes you think a self-help film or a, you know, whatever you want to call it, the movie of the week kind of stuff. This has some strong characters in it. It's got some great actors as well. Chad Michael Murray is in it from One Tree Hill. Kat Dennings, who is stars now in Two Broke Girls. This film came out in 2006. And with me now, I've got Ruth Halstead, Emily Kay, Eric Dean Spruth. And let's talk about what we're doing here. Let's start with Ruth. Tell us about yourself and what your role in this whole process is.
Well, thanks, Tom. My name's Ruth Halstead, and I am the co-founder of the Self-Injury Support Groups of Northwest Indiana. It's a support groups for those who are self-harming, meaning hurting themselves in a physical way through cutting or burning or hitting. Those are the main ones, the most common forms of self-injury. It's a non-suicidal self-injury support group. So we are helping those who are managing emotions that are really hard to deal with, and they're coping with it in this way that is very dangerous, and we're hoping to help them through these support groups. We also offer a family support group to those who just have a family member that is hurting themselves in this way and they don't really know how to react or help or where to go. So we help with all of that. And this month is Self-Injury Awareness Month. And so we wanted to do an event to bring awareness and education to the community. Mm-hmm. self-injury is more prevalent than anyone realizes. It's a very secret act, so sometimes we don't even know exactly what the ratio is. But Cornell University has found that 1 in 5 of their students have used self-injury. And not just their students, but students all around the nation. And so it's very prevalent. And we need to get the word out, and we need to help these people know that there are ways to cope with all that they're dealing with in healthy ways, and we're here to help support them. That's what I love about this movie that we're doing on March 27th. This movie is a true story about somebody who was dealing with some mental health issues, some addiction issues, and self-injury issues, but the community came together and helped her find the help that she needed. And then it started a national movement to write Love on Her Arms, the name of the movie. And this movie is about that story. And it's about how the community can come together and not judge, but be there and be supportive and help them find the resources they need. So I'm really excited about sharing this movie with the community. And that's why it's free. And we hope everybody comes out March 27th. That's in a week from tonight. Please come, bring your friends. It's PG-13. There are some intense themes, but it is family friendly. And we just hope to earn some money for our organization so we can continue to also help these people get more of the support. We are the self-injury support group of Northwest Indiana, but right now we're only in Crown Point. We really want to get more resources to spread out all throughout Northwestern Indiana. It's very important that we're able to do this. I'm really excited to also partner with Eric Spruth and Sacred Transformations. They are offering a free tattoo for our raffle, $500 worth of a tattoo. He's so generous. He's helped us before as well. And so maybe he can share a little bit more about his.
Okay, we're going to get to Eric in just a moment. We'll bring up the music a little bit, Tom Maloney. This is Between the Trees. This is actually a song from the film we're talking about, To Write Love on Her Arms. And listen to it a little bit. It's about the lead character, Renee Yohe.
This is your time.
Is Between the Trees. The song is A Time for Yohe. It's about Renee Yohe, a real-life person that this biographical drama was based on. And it's called To Write Love on Her Arms. It was produced in 2006. It stars Kat Dennings of Two Broke Girls fame and Chad Michael Murray. That's a long one. Chad Michael Murray of One Tree Hill. And it's being shown free Tuesday, March 27th, 6 p.m., Hobart Art Theater, downtown Hobart, and it's hoping to bring awareness to the, I guess you'd say it's an epidemic of self-injury throughout the country and very prevalent here in Northwest Indiana. You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and in looking into this topic today, I was shocked to see how many pop culture references, how many songs have been made about self-injury, about cutting, about branding, about suicide? You know, you think about music to make you happy, make you dance. These are some pretty dark songs, and that's just one of them there, A Time for Yohi. We're going to get to a couple others before the show ends, but tonight we're talking about a very serious topic, and joining us along with Ruth, we've got Eric Dean Spruth, which rhymes, and Eric, you're here as a, I guess, a sponsor of this event as well, correct?
We're delighted to partner with the great folks at the Northwest Indiana Self-Harm Support Network and so many other mental health agencies. Sacred Transformations came out of a daydream about 17 years ago at a red light where I can clearly see my grandfather in a hospital bed. And he said to me, as crystal clear as I can remember it, some people make a mark in the world and the whole world will spend their lifetime trying to replicate that mark. Some people make a mark and spend their entire lifetime trying to erase it. I'm happy with the marks that I made in my life, and I'm ready to move on. And it was that little daydream that really helped to solidify a longstanding vision to create a non-for-profit. And that non-for-profit now has existed for the last 16 years, and it's called Sacred Transformations. And like Ruth, we're available to help people with circumstances in their life. Our core mission is to help individuals who are scarred, tattooed, burned, and or burnt by negative life experiences. And we offer an opportunity to reconfigure, or we call it transform, those marks into beautiful custom works of art. So yes, we are a co-sponsor along with the great folks at Geminis National Regional Healthcare Systems and so many other wonderful people that partner with Ruth. And you know, the main focus is the service of others.
So your tattoo business is in Chicago, correct?
We have studios in Chicago, okay, and in Gary, Indiana's Miller Beach.
Okay. And so what you're saying is if someone is out there and at some point they cut themselves, they branded themselves, and of course that's, you know, sometimes things are a badge of honor, sometimes things are a badge of shame. We had a weak moment, and it's there for people to see. And to keep the judging from happening and maybe to help turn their attitude about themselves around, you turn a negative into a positive.
That's right, Tommy. But the main thing that's a little different than what you said is we don't do it. Our clients do it. Our clients fill out a 5-page essay application and they mail it in. It has to be written in their own hand. And it's a commitment from them to themselves that they want to make a change in their life. And like the name of the movie, to write on your arms, you know, there's a lot of ways to be marked. A priest friend of mine, we wrote an article about Leviticus 19:27 and the idea of the biblical scripture about being marked. People have been marked through every part of humanity, and we mark ourselves in ways that's socially acceptable, piercing our ears, children getting circumcised. These have become cultural norms. So the idea of body modification and the idea of being marked culturally to be a part of a larger system is not unusual. And for people to do this as individuals, as you said, you were shocked when you started looking into this today. And it is shocking, but the level of ignorance to me across humanity and the level of indifference about people becoming so numb, like Johnny Cash saying, you know, I hurt myself so I could feel, is the main thing that I really want to thank you and the great people at Lakeshore Public Radio for helping us bring attention to the normalness of what's going on out there and the abnormalness of people's indifference to wanting to help get help, mm-hmm, and feel good about making that move in their life rather than continuing to cover things up, wear long sleeves, and not have a sense of individual pride to stand up and say, I want to make a change in my life, whether it's moving away from a gang affiliation, a matter of transforming existing scars from self-interest behavior, or service to our great country. So our organization helps individuals across the board. But over the last 3 years, we certainly have seen a big increase of our focus being helping individuals, primarily women, with existing scars from what they identify as self-interest behavior.
Now, how does someone get a hold of Sacred Transformations to get help and to submit that essay?
Our application's available on our website, real simple. It's just a page you open up, and it's sacredtransformations.org, sacredtransformations.org. And it's a project in and of itself. As I was telling you when we talked before, the least significant part of our service is the culminating tattoo. The biggest part of our service is really helping people to engage the reality of Maya Angelou's great quote, it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to. Mm-hmm. And the reality that sometimes, you know, we're the people that are most demonstrative to ourselves, getting out of the shower, all the self-hate, all the shame of looking at our own bodies and not celebrating who we are and what we are, but getting caught in the trap of the stereotype of what people think we should be, including us. So a big part of our process is really helping our client get very comfortable with what they have, who they are, and not celebrating bad behavior, self-harm, but really engaging it and displaying it as a badge of honor to themselves and to the world. And our tattoos reconfigure the scars in such a way that the story they share is the story they want to share versus what they a lot of our clients face every day when they're out in public. What's up with that scar? Mm-hmm. And then they have to tell the story that they're stuck in. With us, they get a new story, their story.
There are different ways of self-injury. We're going to talk about the different differences of those in just a moment. But we have another guest, Emily Kay. Emily, what is your role in this, and how did you get connected to this passion?
Yeah, so I actually am the director of art therapy and internal affairs at Sacred Transformations. I'm also a transformative tattoo artist. I actually started my journey with Sacred Transformations about a year ago as an intern, and I completed a tattoo apprenticeship.
So this is relatively new to you.
It is, but it's very quickly become one of my passions. So, okay.
So you work with Eric?
I do. I work with we work together as tattoo artists and advocates, really. For a lot of different individuals, including those that we're talking about today, who mm-hmm. have self-injurious behaviors.
Now, do you primarily work in Chicago or Gary, or how do you break it up?
I feel like we work where the work is needed.
Okay, so, good answer. I like that.
We've had people who've applied internationally and flown in for our services. We really try to raise to the occasion.
Is this something that you're seeing catch on with other tattoo artists, that they say we can make a difference in someone's life? We can donate some ink and help change a life. Is this something that's catching fire?
I think I want it to more. I know I work full time also as a qualified mental health professional and an art therapist. But, tattoo artists have to make a living, too. And
right.
I think a lot of them make a lot of, foundationally a lot of their money on cover-ups. And we're not really in the business of doing cover-ups. We're more so in the business of doing transformation. So individuals that we work with have scars, burns, tattoos, we work to transform the way that they not only view these markings on their body, but also, how they view themselves. So, mm-hmm. And we do it all for free, and that's the bottom line. So that's what's really important about our services, is that a lot of times individuals who have experienced trauma or loss or are trying to, rehabilitate themselves in general, are not financially in the position to expend what a lot of commercial tattoo artists are willing to
ask.
And
it's not cheap. For
no,
those
it's
that
not.
Don't have ink, I mean, it's not a cheap process. But like anything else, you get what you pay for. Some of the artists out there are just amazing with what they can do. Let's talk about the group itself, the Self-Injury Support Group of Northwest Indiana. Ruth, how did you and when did you found this organization? What was the impetus for you saying, I need to do this?
Well, I was reading a book by Steve Levenkron that talked about cutting, and I had never heard of it before. And then I started studying it in graduate school, and it was very compelling to me. It just seemed like this is a very desperate act for anyone. And so I learned that families have a lot to do with helping someone heal and overcome their self-injurious behaviors. And I went into marriage and family therapy, and I did my study on this, and it was published in the Journal of Marriage and Family Therapy, Volume 40, if you want to look it up, Self-Injurious Behavior and Family Dynamics, a Correlation Analysis. And then after I was done with graduate school, I really knew I wanted to start a support group for these people, because I got to know some of the participants that worked in the study. And then it just wasn't taking off at all. And then I got a call from a very desperate mother of a daughter who was self-harming.
Mm-hmm. Locally here?
Yes, locally. Okay. And she was very she just really wanted to find some help because there wasn't help out there for the parents. And so she had the wonderful idea to start a family support group, as well as, you know, the support group that I wanted to do. So we started the Self-Injury Support Groups of Northwest Indiana. She runs the family support group, and I run the main support group.
Is that Linda?
Yes, that is Linda.
Linda Smith. She's on your flyer here, and she's part of this project as well. You can get more information online, selfinjurynwi.org, selfinjurynwi.org. And you guys are supporting or presenting, I should say, this movie night. And it's Tuesday, a week from tonight, March 27th, 6 p.m., Hobart Art Theater in downtown Hobart. To Write Love on Her Arms. This is a national release. It was made in 2006. It's about 19-year-old Renee Yohe. She grew up like any other child, loving fairy tales and life, and then found a very dark chapter of her life opening up. And this movie is about that. And it stars Kate Dennings of Two Broke Girls. Everybody knows that show. And this is an earlier role for her. She plays the lead. Chad Michael Murphy of Murray of One Tree Hill is also in that. And we're on the topic of cutting. So I've got a song here that's ideally on that. It deals with cutting. It's Garbage, Bleed Like Me. And we're going to get back on the other side in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the differences between the different self-injuries that are out there that you may not realize.
Like a brand new Christmas toy. He's trying to figure out if he's a girl or he's a boy. And he says, hey, baby, can you bleed like me? Oh, come on, baby, can you bleed like me? Scissors to her skin, and when she does, relief comes sitting in. While she hides the scars she's making underneath her pretty clothes, she sings, hey baby, can you bleed like me? Oh, come on baby, can you bleed like me? Therapy is Speedy's brand new drug. Dancing with the devil's past has never been too fun. It's better off than trying to take a bullet from a gun. And she cries, hey baby, can you bleed like me? Oh, come on baby, can you bleed like me?
Shirley Manson, Garbage, Bleed Like Me. And if you listen to the words of that song, it's extremely disturbing. If you listen to the words of that song and watch the music video, it's even more disturbing. It's a wonderful piece of art. It's creative. It's beautiful in a very dark way. And again, tonight we are talking about self-injury and how you can get help, or if you have someone that you care about that is doing some self-injury, where you can go to get answers, get help, get support, and you can learn a lot about this next Tuesday, March 27th, 6 p.m., Hobart Art Theater in downtown Hobart. The Self-Injury Support Groups of Northwest Indiana present a free movie night. The movie is To Write Love on Her Arms. It's about a specific woman, a specific case, and it will definitely get conversations going. There's also going to be some special guests. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I know that Eric was mentioning that off air. But first, when we talk about self-injury, Ruth, what does that mean? I mean, we talked about cutting and branding, but there's so many different things and in ways people can hurt themselves.
Yes, the official definition is the deliberate self-inflicted destruction of body tissue without suicide intent and for the purposes that are not socially sanctioned. So while tattooing does fit this definition, it is socially sanctioned to get a tattoo. So tattooing is not necessarily a form of self-injury. Piercings aren't necessarily a form of self-injury either, even though they are another alteration of the body tissue. What self-injury does for the people who are using it and how it fits in this definition is that they are just overwhelmed with emotion, thoughts, maybe a traumatic event that keeps plaguing them, and the act of self-injury kind of pulls them out of that and helps them relax. And it also can be Like if they're feeling just numbed out, it can be a way to feel again. The physical pain can pull them out of that numbness. There's various ways people self-injure, but that's the main reasons and definition.
Okay. And of course, as we were talking off air before the show, when I was growing up, I personally didn't see a lot of cutting or things going on in society. I mean, maybe it was there and it just wasn't seen. But I did see growing up in the 60s and the 70s, a lot of people that turned to drugs and turned to alcohol in a way to numb the pain they were feeling or deal with it. Is chemical addiction, is alcoholism, is that part of self-injury? Is that something that's covered in your group when you try to help people?
I think when you talk about destructive behaviors, certainly chemical addictions would fit in there. But no, not necessarily for our group. We're talking more about specifically hurting your body tissue in a way that is helping you deal with the overwhelming emotions.
What about anorexia, bulimia? We hear a lot, especially with younger girls going through this, where they're literally starving themselves to death. Look at Karen Carpenter, great talent that we lost because she couldn't deal with it, as Eric said, the image in the mirror.
Yeah, I think so. Eating disorders and self-injurious behaviors often do go together. However, it is not the specific focus of our group. The specific focus of our group is that deliberate self-inflicted destruction of the body tissue. Now, probably 60% of the people that have used self-injury also at some point have had an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And without treatment, oftentimes they bounce back and forth between, okay, I got my eating disorder under control, but I'm self-harming. Now I'm not self-harming, but I'm back to my eating disorder. So wow. Sometimes they go together a lot for about 60% of the people.
Well, you have some scary statistics here. You're talking about 1 in 5 college-age students have somehow, at some point, done self-injury. And where did that statistic come from? How did you come to that?
Cornell University has done extensive studies on self-injury. Janice Whitlock specifically has done really good research, and many of her colleagues. Nationwide and some worldwide. And the statistics go anywhere from 20% to up to 33% of college students at some point in their life have used self-injury. So it's very prevalent. It's a very secretive and private act. Most self-injurers do not want you to know that they're doing it.
Do they seek out help, though? And Emily, maybe you can jump in on that, being a mental health expert. How do you find these people if they want to be secretive? Do the families bust them out and say, hey, you need help, we're taking you somewhere? Is it an intervention thing? Or do they finally get to a point where they're hurting themselves and they don't want to die, so they seek out the help? I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this whole thing.
So I would say that a common misconception with self-injurious behaviors is that these individuals are engaging in the act with the intent to kill themselves.
Okay.
As Ruth was saying, it's kind of more of a release, something more of like a maladaptive coping skill. And a lot of the ways that people are referred are, to mental health services if they have self-injurious behaviors are by others observing their scars or their wounds. They also can be referred by, if they engage in self-harm and they hurt themselves or make a mistake while engaging in their rituals. Mm-hmm. So if they nick an artery or a vein, they might have to be hospitalized. And most mental health professionals would definitely consider a mistake in self-injurious behaviors to be, with intent.
Which is why if you're at school or mm-hmm. the police find you and you've cut yourself or hurt yourself, they are mandated to get help for that person.
Yes, we are mandated reporters. Okay. So, if we observe anything that we think or assume could put the person or anyone else in danger, we do have to report that. So.
I think one of the things that the self-injury support groups of Northwest Indiana want to do is to help with the education for mm-hmm. the community on in how schools can develop a policy on how to react to this, knowing that it's not a suicide attempt. It may or may not they may or may not need to go to the hospital. However, there needs to be a protocol to make sure that they are getting the treatment they need, because any act of self-injury is a cry for help.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they want someone to know about it or not, they need the help. They need the treatment. And the self-injury groups that we run, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I do treat those that self-harm. However, in the group, it is not a therapeutic group so much as I don't go into any therapeutic detail. So I really make sure that they find the resources they need for a therapist or a psychiatrist, whatever they might need to get the help, and for the family to get the help. You know, it, the family support group does not substitute for family therapy, and my support group does not substitute for individual one-on-one therapy that they might need. Mm-hmm. Now, they can go to, they can hire me as a therapist. My practice is Ruth's Family Therapy, but they don't have to have me as a therapist. I mean, I'm happy to just be the group facilitator and help them in that way, and then get them the referrals they need elsewhere.
So if someone listening tonight is having a problem, or they know someone's having this kind of problem, they can contact you with the Self-Injury Support Group of Northwest Indiana, and they can just come in and say, help us, direct us, educate us. And you meet twice a month, correct?
Yes, we meet on the second and the fourth Tuesdays of every month at the St. Matthias Parish Building in Crown Point.
I was going to say, is that Crown Point?
Yes, and we're getting big enough now that we've split into, we're ready to split into an adult group and an adolescent group. And then with our family support group that Linda runs, that is three support groups that we have now. And we're looking at starting one in Miller-Gary area and Portage area. I'm just, you know, working out those details.
Okay. And again, if you're listening and you want to find out more information, just even casually and just kind of, you know, mix in with the crowd, you can join everybody at the To Write Love on Her Arms free film. It's going to be broadcast, it's going to be shown at the Hobart Art Theater next Tuesday, 6 p.m. And this is a mainstream Hollywood film that deals with a very topical situation about a troubled teenager, Renee Yohe, who is played by Kat Dennings, who you know and love for her role in Two Broke Girls. There's also Chad Michael Murray of One Tree Hill, who is the lead male in this. And what was it about this film that made you say, this is the one that we're going to show, this is the one that might impact?
Well, To Write Love on Her Arms, that story of Renee is that she was a self-harmer. She did self-injure. And she had some trauma that she was dealing with. And what I loved most about this movie is that it showed Renee in a positive light, in terms of, it didn't sugarcoat what she was going through, but it did show her as a human being, not just someone that was so quote-unquote crazy or, mm-hmm. you know, disturbed or looking for attention, or all the ways that those who self-harm are judged harshly. And although it did show that she was judged harshly in the movie at times, what really mattered was how her friends and those in the community gathered around her and supported her. That's the feeling I want to get for the people that come and see mm-hmm. this movie, that we are here to support those who are dealing with mental health issues, addiction, and self-harm. And thank you so much for this promotion.
Oh,
thank
no
you.
Problem.
I'm really hoping
this
to get the word out and everyone
very
will
important.
Come.
And we're talking about the way people feel and perceive themselves. And this is a song. We're going to play a little snippet from it, from the movie To Write Love on Her Arms, a song you'll hear in the movie. Again, Between the Trees is the group. And it says it all in the title, The Way She Feels.
She opens it, there's nothing there, it's only leftover tears. Mom and Dad have no right, Shay screams, the anger runs out both of her cheeks. And then she closed her eyes, found relief in a knife. The blood flows as Shay cries. Just forget the bleeding. And then she closed her eyes, far relief in a knife. The blood flows as she
She Feels Between the Trees, a group that has contributed music to this film we're talking about, To Write Love on Her Arms, made in 2006. It's going to be shown free at the Hobart Art Theater Tuesday, March 27th at 6 p.m. and as downtown Hobart. And my guests are Ruth Halstead, Emily Kay, and Eric Dean Spruth, and they are all very passionate about this topic of self-injury, and rightfully so. This is it fair to say this is an epidemic in many ways? I mean,
Absolutely. Yeah, like a silent epidemic,
almost.
Yeah.
Now, how did the two of you, or the two organizations, I should say, get together? Sacred Transformations and Self-Injury Northwest Indiana.
I came out and presented for you.
Yes, we heard about Sacred Transformations, and we wanted to invite Eric to our support group to let those in our group know that there is a way that they can manage their scars from their injuries in the past. That they,
How long ago was that?
Of them are very self-conscious about these scars, and they're a source of shame in some ways. And what Sacred Transformation offers is a way for them to transform that into something they're very proud of, something that they can be proud of showing off, and it can be meaningful to them. I liked how Eric uses it in a therapeutic way, and the process of the application and making sure that, you know, those in his organization actually interview the people and really get to know them. That meant a lot to me. And so I brought him to the group, and he introduced himself, and we were able to refer somebody to the organization. Maybe you'll want to talk about
that. Did you find a lot of takers on that when he was introduced? That people said, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
I think people are definitely like always like super excited about the opportunity to transform something that, you know, like Ruth said, is such a source of shame for some people. As we talked about a little bit before, I want to say it's such a privilege to be able to partner with your organization, Ruth. And
thank you.
The referrals that we've been able to work with have been really successful and life-changing for a lot of different people. Also, trauma has a tendency to manifest in a lot of different types of ways. So, you know, you referenced cutting before. It mm-hmm. also manifests in chronic anxiety. It manifests in hair pulling, burning, like, and even picking. We have an individual that was referred to us who she, like, would pick herself little by little, and it became worse, and she got really sick. She got a staph infection because of this manifestation of trauma. Really, I'm just going to call it what it was. Mm-hmm. It's self-injurious behavior caused by previous life experiences. And I remember the day that she showed us her scar, and she was so embarrassed and so ashamed of it because of all the weight that the wound, or that the previous wound carried. And when she showed it to me, it was about the size of a dime. It was really, really small.
But to her, it was probably huge.
But to her, it was this, like, this gawking, gaping hole in her back. And really, like, we've worked together, myself, Eric, the Sacred Transformations team, Ruth, and this individual, to turn it into a really beautiful, like, pretty large back piece of something mm-hmm. that is a living memorial to her daughter, who she really, really cherishes. And now she looks at herself and she feels beautiful, and her entire body image has changed. So these types of partnerships within mental health and within non-for-profit organizations, I think, are really important.
Absolutely.
Now, we keep saying that this is a free film, and it is free, but you are taking free will donations if someone is moved to help, whether it's for a personal reason or they're just moved by the story and they want to help. You will be taking and accepting donations, correct?
Yes, we're accepting donations. Please feel free to come and donate what you want. We're having a bake sale, and then there's also the drawdown for the $500 tattoo that Sacred Transformation is donating. Thank you so much.
Just came about tonight.
All you artists, I know.
It's our pleasure.
I'm so excited about this. Please come out and put in a $20 raffle donation, or whatever it's called,
okay.
And you might get picked for this this free tattoo, $500 worth.
And that doesn't have to be, and for lack of a better word, a cover-up tattoo for this particular event.
Just custom work.
Just a custom work.
Just custom tattoo, yeah.
And you can go to either Chicago or to Miller, where Sacred Transformations has their stores. And sacredtransformations.org is where you can find out more online to get an application if you are doing that. And there's a big tattoo convention coming up that you had mentioned, Eric. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, that's right. Thanks, Tommy, for bringing that up. We'll be at the Rosemont Horizon, our team at the information table, and we'll be ready to take applications from interested parties. So if you're in the proximity or if you want to come out and support Villain Arts, it'll be at the Rosemont Horizon Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a huge national tattoo convention. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll be up there, being a part of the whole crew up there. So if you want to come up. But obviously, you could check out our website, sacredtransformations.org, and obtain an application there. And again, all our services are free, and it's a great honor to be a sponsor for the great work Ruth does. And, you know, for you listeners out there, more than anything, you know, there's a lot of coexisting conditions. And in this country, we follow this diagnostic statistical for mental...
what do you call it, Ruth? Say it. The DSM.
Oh, yeah.
Say it.
Diagnostic Statistical Manual.
Yeah, it's really swell. It's
what
a cookbook.
She said.
It's a cookbook for mental health. And one of the problems I have with it as a practitioner of mental health, but also as a recipient of mental health, is it puts us in a position to kind of have to fit in a widget that someone designed. So you're this, you're that. And the truth is, we all know that Monday you're one thing, Friday you're another, and there's a lot of coexisting conditions. So the listeners out there, Ruth is a great person. And Emily is a great person. I'm all right. But there's a lot of people out there that can help you. And unfortunately, we live in a world that stigmatizes mental health every day, every night. And it glorifies those who cross that line and do something horrific and awful, and it gives them attention. And we as a society have to turn that around. And the best place to do that is to make a difference in someone else's life, whether it's just saying good morning to someone or referring someone to a good mental health agency. And there's a lot of people out there who have had bad experiences with mental health, and that's okay. I always like to say I fired more psychiatrists than you can count. They work for us. We don't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
We are the customers of services. And when we need mental health support, we go out and shop, and hopefully we have the perseverance or a support network to make sure we're linked up with the right people. And Ruth's humility to say whether you go with her or someone else shows her professionalism. So engaging the process of getting help is one of the biggest messages I hope to be a small part of here tonight. And thank you, Tommy, and your team here for helping us bring attention to such an important topic. Nobody has to go over that edge. And as they said in Elf, there's room for everybody on the good list. So it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Magic's real. Life is beautiful. And we have to make friendships to enjoy partnerships that last a lifetime.
We're talking a little about stigmas. One of the things that stereotypical imagery, when you talk about self-injury, as I mentioned off air earlier when we were talking, you think of teenagers. You think, oh, cutting, that's a teenage problem. Even this movie is about a 19-year-old who takes a razor blade to herself, played by Kat Dennings. And again, that movie is going to be free on Tuesday at the Art Theater, this coming Tuesday, a week from tonight at 6 p.m. But it's not just teenagers. I mean, do the teenagers grow out of this? Is this a problem that stays with them into adulthood? How do they deal with that?
Well, the average person usually starts around the age of 13, and it usually lasts up to 3 to 8 years without intervention. However, it can start for anyone at any age, at any time. We have people in our group who have been 50 years old, so, and they started, you know,
a year ago. It can run its course, is what you're saying. It can, but it's better to get help.
Oh, yeah, and it will, you need help. I mean, because something is going on emotionally that you need help with if you're self-harming, definitely. But it can start at any age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In my study, the earliest person that started self-injuring was 5 years old.
Wow.
And the duration can last anywhere from, you know, one-time use to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody in our group that had been self-injuring for over 30 years before she finally got some help. And it's for men and women. Women usually tend to ask for help, professional help, easier than men. But but men do this as well, and maybe in forms that we don't appreciate sometimes, like punching a wall or picking a fight so they'll get punched in the face, you know.
So it's more than an anger issue. I mean, I've been in many a bars where I've seen that happen. So it may not just be an anger issue. It could be wanting to get punched.
Yes. It depends on the motivation and the intent of the person. If they are trying to create physical pain to distract them from the emotional pain, that's a good bar to
Fight Club, right?
Yeah, Fight Club.
Fight Club is the first thing I think of when you were talking about that, like engaging in reckless or, you know, even dangerous behaviors. Yeah, men typically, even with regard to like suicidal ideations or behaviors, they tend to go a little bit further over the edge than women do, you know.
Why are we seeing more mental health issues in the last 10 years? I mean, mental health issues have always been there, especially before all the medications and the treatments were there. But it seems like the more we're learning, the more crazy people are becoming. I mean, we see school shootings. We see different things going on that just to the average person looking in just seems out there. It's like, I hate to use the word crazy, but it seems crazy.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't call people crazy.
But I'm just saying crazy behavior. I mean, there's something.
I wish I had an easy answer for that. I don't know.
Why are we seeing more of this?
I really don't know the answer to that, but I do know we are, and there's treatments out there. Maybe it's just because of the internet and Facebook, and we're all more out there than ever before anyway.
Facebook affected this, do you think? Do you think, especially with the teenagers, are we seeing more kids being enticed to do this kind of behavior by their, I mean, we've always been peer pressure of all age groups, every generation. But today it's like you can sit at home and you're getting peer pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. Bullying is a big issue. Cyberbullying is a big
issue.
Does that
lead, you think, to this?
It's something that I hear about often.
Okay, so that is something that comes up from different clients.
Possibly, and maybe we're more detached as a society from our, you know, we don't look at each other as much. We don't talk to each other as much. We're all in our phones.
We use our thumbs.
Right.
Well, Eric,
but it's also another way to connect and find social support as well online.
Eric had mentioned and used the word numb. We become kind of desensitized and numb to so much things around us that used to impact people. They'd go through life and say, oh, that's wrong or that's different or well, you shouldn't do that. Well, now it's like people turn their eye and don't seem to care as much.
I agree. And, you know, take it back to the music. I know this is a music show and you said you were shocked how many pieces deal with pain and hurt, but it's the Greek tragedy. You know, it's what amuses, it's what entertains us, is the pain of others and the circumstance of someone else either conquering the pain in their life or somehow falling wayside from it. But as I said before, you know, we're here to support each other at our best, and at our worst, we're here to laugh at each other. And, you know, philosophically, we could all say it's a terrible thing to laugh, but anyone who's watched The Three Stooges, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. There's a pathology that takes away your pain when you see someone else in it. And the problem is from where The Three Stooges, you know, celebrated their genius in recognizing that in the human spirit, it's gone way too far. And as Johnny Cash said, I hurt myself to feel. And nowadays, you know, with these constant glowing screens that are intentionally designed to keep your brain awake at night, it's creating sleep disorders. It's creating dysfunction on so many levels. And, you know, if we don't recognize it in children, we don't recognize it in adults, we're making a big mistake. So as we up the ante to increase the level and the type of stimulation our body has become increasingly aware of and available to, we increase the level of our numbness. And as we do that, it's just common sense that we up the ante. I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when TV stopped at 11, 12 o'clock after Johnny
Carson. Test pattern.
Yeah, Johnny Carson and Tom Snyder. It was better world. Because now, you know, you can just binge an entire show and call in sick the next day. It is a systematic detriment to society, all this stuff. And as Ruth said, it can work if great people want to make it work. We have a Facebook cause page. I know Ruth does as well. And this is an example of media working in a positive direction. But there's a lot of negativity out there, and people, unfortunately, are very drawn to it. And to fight it is something that we have to support each other in doing.
Emily, is there a cause and effect with the lack of a nuclear family these days. We've seen so. It used to be when Eric and I were growing up, mm-hmm. you'd sit down to family dinner in most cases, and the family talked. We weren't thumbing our keyboards, and you know we weren't binge watching television. We would sit at the dinner table. We would talk about our day, how school went, what Dad's job was, Mom, what she did. We don't have that anymore. Every family I know. It's very rare to see that. You might do it once a week on a Sunday, whatever. But the daily communication, has that deterioration, you think, affected the younger people coming up? They don't have that foundation, that support.
I would say communication certainly has something to do with it. Okay. I think within the nuclear family, it's obviously important. But as a mental health professional, I definitely think that it's our duty and it's our place to be able to help individuals communicate about what they're feeling. Every day at my job, I teach people how to identify their symptoms, how to mm-hmm. identify what they're feeling, and also like to filter through the things that they've experienced. You know, mm-hmm. we talk a lot about how. I talked a little bit about how trauma manifests, and I think if people aren't given the space and the freedom to be able to just have feelings, you know, Eric and I talk a lot about the over, like, pathologizing everything, like, everything is a disorder, everything is a diagnosis, and to an extent, yes, you know, there are individuals who have diagnoses, but, like, just having feelings is okay, and self-injurious behaviors and other different types of manifestations of feelings happen when an individual doesn't have an outlet. I prefer the outlet of art. I prefer the outlet of having conversations about my feelings and not holding things in. Other people who aren't giving those tools, whether it sources from them not having like a quote-unquote nuclear family, you know, or just them not having the words to express their feelings or what they've experienced, they need to find an outlet. And if that turns okay. into self-injurious behaviors, then we need to help them formulate better coping skills, right? So like as mental health professionals, it's our duty to talk to the public and say, hey, you know what? If you're feeling this way, there are alternatives. You don't have to hurt yourself.
Okay. We are down to about a minute and a half here. I just want to remind everybody, Tuesday, a week from tonight, March 27th, 6 p.m., Hobart Art Theater at 230 Main Street, downtown Hobart. There's a free film, and it's called To Write Love on Her Arms. It stars some names you know. Kat Dennings, who is with Two Broke Girls these days, Chad Michael Murray, One Tree Hill. There's some other famous folks in there. Mark Saul and Corbin Blue is in this as well, some different names over the years that you've watched on television. This is a true story, a biographical drama written and directed and filmed in 2006. It's about a 19-year-old who was doing self-injury, and it's a wonderful eye-opening event. And I just quickly want to mention there will be some special guests as well. How's this going to work with the special guests? They going to do some testimonials?
Yeah, we're going to leave some time at the end of the movie if anyone wants to briefly share their story. And Eric has a guest that he brought, John Sabe, is that right?
Correct.
And he was a hockey player, and he had a well, he'll tell you his story at the end of the movie.
Okay.
And go to selfinjurynwi.org if you'd like to donate. Selfinjurynwi.org if you can't make the movie and want to participate. Thank you.
All right. And sacredtransformations.org is where you can find out more information, get the essay form. If you have some scars or some things that you need to deal with, these folks will help you out. And it's amazing what the three of you are doing. Thank you for caring.
Thank you.
Ooh, it's stereo. Yeah.
That's what's in you.
There you go. And like this song says by R.E.M., everybody hurts.
Yeah, R.E.M. And
everybody sometimes
it's a good song.
Needs a little bit of help to
that's
get
right.
through that hurt. And
so
that's
true.
What,
so true.
That's what you're going to find out Tuesday, March 27th. And thank you for listening and supporting Public Radio. Don't forget to make your pledge to Public Radio. Keep us doing what we're doing. And I'm sure Tom Maloney will tell us more about that a little later this evening. But for now, thank you for tuning in. Keep on rocking and stay warm. Adios.
Everybody hurts. sometimes everything is wrong. Now it's time to sing along.